This afternoon, I want to bring a teaching. I'm simply going to talk about the New Covenant walk. The New Covenant walk. And I want to talk about one of our foundational pillars in our New Covenant faith. So could you go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? We'll begin there. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 13. Verse 13 says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcome it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to take a moment just to again thank you just for your goodness and the goodness of your word tonight. And we're going to talk about the goodness of your word this evening, Lord. And I pray that the things that you just put in my heart, I pray that you just help me to deliver it with simplicity, but Lord, with a depth, God, because this is something that's so vital to understand, so vital in our Christian growth. And Lord, just from the very beginning, I want to thank you for your word. God, I've walked long enough with you to know how important your word is. God, I've been through enough storms and enough battles to know the faithfulness of your word. And God, I just want to just say thank you, God. It surely is a true foundation. The floods come, the winds beat upon the house, but everything you build stands because your word is an unshakable foundation in our life. Lord, we can build our life on your word. We can build our marriages on your word. We can build our relationships with our children on your word, because that is the one thing in this world that cannot be shaken. The storms and the floods will come, but they will not cause what you have built to fall, because your word is unshakable. And Lord, we just thank you for the goodness, the faithfulness of your word, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Can I get a big amen? Amen. 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 Let me just begin by saying that the longer I walk with the Lord, the more my confidence in his word grows, that the more I see his word working in my life and see his word working through my life, the more battles, the more storms I go through and see the faithfulness of his word, it just produces a desire in my heart just to really be a man who walks with God in his word, which really leads me to the first point that I want to make tonight in this teaching. The first point being, when we have a walk with God in his word works amazing supernatural wonders in our life. How many of you know that? When you have a life with God in his word actually has the power to produce the impossible in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, we read it, says, "The word of God, which works effectively in you who believe." That when we walk with God in faith, his word miraculously transforms our lives as we just have that faith walk with him in his word. And for a moment, I just want to ask you to bear with me, because I want to list 15 amazing things that God's word produces in our life when we work with him, walk with him in his word. You know, in this new covenant way, it's the word of God that the Holy Spirit moves upon in our lives and just produces amazing things. And I want to list 15, although there are a lot more, but we can't possibly list them all. But I want to list 15. Number one, the word of God produces faith in our life. Romans 10, 17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The word of God sanctifies our hearts. John 17, 17 says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true. The word of God directs our steps. Psalms 119, verse 133 says, order my steps in your word. God's word produces spiritual freedom in our lives. John 8, 31 and 32 says, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God's word brings supernatural comfort. Psalm 119, verse 50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction, even your word that speaks life to me. The word heals our destruction. Psalm 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. That wherever God sees destruction, his remedy is to always send his word. God's word produces maturity. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by. The word of God transforms our lives. Again, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the word of God which works effectively in you who believe. God's word defeats sin. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I have hid your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. God's word defeats Satan. Ephesians 6, 17 says, but take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is the power behind intercessory prayer. Jeremiah 27, 18 says, if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts. The word of God is an unshakable foundation to build upon. Matthew 7, verse 24 and 25. Therefore, whoever hears my word and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. The word of God produces wisdom, Colossians 3, 16. Let the word of God dwell in your hearts richly in all wisdom. The word of God lights our path in seasons of darkness, Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And finally, the word of God prospers in our lives wherever God sends it. Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things where I have sent it. Beloved, these are just 15 of the wonderful promises in God's word that talks about the miracles that take place in our life when we walk with God in his word. You know, there are so many things that God shares with us that when you have a life in my word, your life is going to be supernaturally transformed, and we can't possibly count them all. We just listed 15. And again, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen. Which brings me to my second point. My second point being tonight that God has designed the new covenant to be a walk in his word. That God designed the new covenant to be a word walk with God. Jesus said in John 8, verse 31, he says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And I always like to ask the students at Summit, you know, what is the key word in that scripture? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? And to finish the verse, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it never fails. They always say back to me, oh, the key word there is word. Or the key word there is truth. Them are the key words that are in the verse. But I always like to say back to them, well, I think the key word is continue. Jesus says, if you continue. Jesus says, if you have a life abiding in my word. He's saying, if you have a relationship within me, with me in my word, then out of that place of relationship, that place of continuing, the anointed word is going to continually flow through that spiritual man and bring you into deeper and deeper places of liberty and freedom. It's a word walk that he has designed. And as we continue in his word, it produces such supernatural things in our life. So Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And I want us to remember that the word disciple is not a title. He's not talking about a title. You call yourself a disciple. No, no, the word disciple is not a title. It's a word of transformation. The word disciple actually means one who's being transformed into the likeness of their teacher by his teaching. So, beloved, that's the power of the word. Listen, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is every time we open our Bibles and get into God's word. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to breathe life into this word and bring us into a living, transforming encounter with the Lord. That's his ministry. Every time we open our Bibles to read our Bibles, to spend time with God in our Bibles. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is simply to come and breathe upon this word and make the word alive. And I love how one Bible teacher put it. He simply said, every time we choose to open our Bibles, we are choosing to come heart and heart and face to face with God. And there's not a more transforming place than when you come heart to heart and face to face with God. God designed the new covenant to be a word walk with him. Now, with that thought in mind, I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 24. Go with me to Luke chapter 24. What I love so much about Luke 24 is there's not a greater chapter in the Bible that connects Jesus with the scriptures. Luke chapter 24 powerfully connects Jesus with the scriptures. And I actually want to start in verse 18. Look with me at verse 18. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said unto him, are you the only a stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happen here these days? And he said to them, what things? Though they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of an angel who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then Jesus said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at a table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So here we have, very shortly after the crucifixion, two men are leaving Jerusalem and they're walking to a small village called Emmaus. And when you read the story, you can see that they're very disappointed. They're just so disappointed that Jesus, who they hoped was the true Messiah, he didn't come and perform the things that they thought the Messiah was going to perform. They thought the Messiah was going to be a political Messiah. They thought that the Messiah was going to come and overthrow the Roman authority, the Roman power, and at that time make Israel the greatest nation in all the earth again, restore it to the glory of Solomon's kingdom. That's what they thought. But Jesus didn't come to be a political Messiah. He came to be a redeeming Messiah, to die for the sins of the world. But there's just a disappointment in their heart. And then Jesus comes and they don't recognize Jesus. The resurrected Lord comes and begins to walk with him. And he says, did not he do everything that he was supposed to do? Did he not fulfill what the old prophets and the Old Testament scriptures say he would fulfill? And he began to take them back to the law. He began to take them back to the prophets. He began to take them back to the Psalms and reveal that Jesus, the Messiah, truly performed what the scripture said that he would perform. And the Bible says that he went into a house with them. And as he broke bread, the Bible says that they were watching him as he broke bread. And suddenly, after he broke bread, their eyes were open and they knew, yes, this is Jesus. He is truly alive from the dead. And the Bible says that as they saw him, immediately when they knew him, it says that Jesus vanished. He vanished from their sight. He disappeared. And beloved, anytime Jesus does something, he does it for a reason. He vanished for a reason. You know, he wasn't trying to pull some kind of disappearing act. He wasn't trying to be a magician. No, he vanished for a reason. And the reason why he vanished is because he was saying something. And what he was saying is this: I'm no longer going to walk with you the way I used to walk with you. I'm no longer going to walk with you in the flesh anymore. I'm no longer going to talk with you in the flesh anymore. I'm going to ascend and be with my Father. And our whole walk together is going to change. It's no longer going to be a walk of sight. And what Jesus was teaching them in Luke chapter 24 is simply this: listen, if you're going to continue to walk with me, if you're going to continue to know me, if you're going to continue to become like me, if you're going to continue to grow in me, if you're going to continue to walk with me, it is now going to be a word walk. I've designed a new covenant to be a word walk. It's as you walk with me in my word, the Holy Spirit is going to come and breathe life into the word. And as you walk with me in my word, you're going to become like me. You're going to grow in your relationship with me. You know, I've designed a new covenant to be a word walk. Beloved, today we walk with him in his word. He's an invisible Jesus. How many of you know that? He sits at the right hand of the Father. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to come and take his word and to breathe life into his word. And listen, what we have to understand, this isn't just principles to live by. This is a person. It is the very heart of God. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. Listen, do you know what you have in your hand? Do I know what I have in my hand? Yeah, it's a Bible I bought at JCPenney's for $21.99. What I have in my hand is the very heart of God. And what you have in your hand is the very heart of God. In this new covenant day, it's as if God said, you want to know my heart? You want to know my heart? Okay, well, let me reach inside. And he reached inside. And he said, here's my heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's the way God designed this walk. He designed it to be a word walk with him. Amen. This word is life. It's spirit. And it is life. Amen. Now, here's the direction that I want to take this. Understand, God has always worked under the law of reproduction. God has always worked under the law of reproduction. And we see that right from the very beginning. So go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Look at me at one verse, that's verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the trees that yield fruit. So here's what God was saying in verse 11. He's saying, the reason why I put seeds in the trees and plants is so that they can reproduce. I don't create new trees and I don't create new plants. I let them reproduce by the power of the seed. And here's my point. This is what Jesus was doing when he gathered his disciples and he was beginning to teach his disciples. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus was saying, I'm going to reproduce into you, and then you're going to speak my word and reproduce in the next generation, and they're going to speak my word and reproduce in the next generation. As my word has transformed your life, so the word you are going to speak and transform the lives of others, and then they, in turn, they're going to become teachers and ministers, and they're going to speak into the next generation and transform the life of others, and this is going to continue until I come back. Listen, here's what Jesus is saying. I am not doing this all over again. I am not. Every new generation that comes along, I'm not going to be born a baby again, raised in the earth again, walk in the flesh again, have to gather 12 men around me again and start teaching again. I am not going to do that. So here's how it's going to work, disciples. I'm going to sow into you, and then you're going to sow into that first generation church, and that first generation church is going to sow into that second generation church, and then that second generation is going to sow into that third generation church, and that third generation is going to sow into that fourth generation church, and this is going to keep going on and on and on until I blow the trumpet, split the eastern skies, and come rapture my church. That's how we're going to do this thing. God has always worked by the law of reproduction. Amen. He sows into those disciples, and the word transformed their lives. They, in return, that transforming word, they sowed it into that first generational church. And that word that transformed their lives, they sowed it into that second generational church. And that's the way God has designed the word. It is a word walk that God has designed. Which leads me into my next point, and that's simply this. Jesus' ministry is a seed planting ministry. His ministry in our life is a seed planting ministry. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Would you turn with me to Mark chapter 4, please? Look with me at verse 13 and 14. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" And verse 14 is what I really want to emphasize. He says, "The sower sows the word." Amen. Now we know who the sower is. The sower is Christ. He came to sow the word of God, and he sows it by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And in this new covenant, we're changed by the word Christ faithfully sows into our hearts in our day-to-day walk. Listen, when we walk with Jesus day-to-day, he's always sowing his word into our heart. Amen. You know what I love so much about the Lord? He always wants to speak to us. In this generation, he's always speaking to us, isn't he? Amen. You know, I married a wife who loves to journal. And she's been journaling since she got saved. So she's been journaling over 20 years. And can I just tell you something? She's got stacks of journals. I mean, stacks of journals. You know, every time I turn around, I find one of her old prayer journals laying around the house, one I've never seen before. You know why she has so many journals? Because God has so many things he wants to say. And if you're here tonight and you're just one of those person who loves to journal, I want to tell you something. When you get to be 100 years old, you'll still have to go out to the drugstore and buy a new journal because God still has more things he has to say. Amen. He speaks. He faithfully sows his word into our life, and it just transforms our lives. And right here, I want us to understand that there are four powerful truths we learn regarding the seeds of God's word working kingdom fruit in our lives. Listen, we are kingdom people, and God is faithfully sowing his word into our lives and transforming us more and more into kingdom people. And right here in this Mark chapter 4, there's four powerful truths I want us to see about the seed of his word regarding kingdom fruit. I want to look at a parable. Look with me at Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. It says, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." And remember, the seed represents the word of God. "And should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade and then the head, after that the full grain of the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." So I want you to look at this parable with me, and I want you to, if you're taking notes, there are four powerful things that we see the seed of God's word does. First of all, number one, we see regarding the seed of his word, number one, it works in our heart powerfully. It is a powerful work. Look with me at verse 28. He says, for the earth yields crops by itself. King James Version says, for the earth brings fruit of herself. And what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying, when it comes to fruit growing in the earth, it doesn't require the power of man. Once a seed goes into the ground, it requires man's strength. It doesn't require man's strength at all. It just so naturally produces fruit once it's in the ground. And beloved, that's what makes God's word so powerful in our life, because it does not require human strength. Once God sows that word into our heart, it's not up to me to try to imitate that word, to try to put on some kind of performance. No, no, no. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, as I just walk with God in faith, his word, the seed of that word, produces the supernatural in my life. So first of all, we see, according to the seed, it is a powerful work. Number two, we see it is a progressive work. Look with me at verse 28. It says, for the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that, the full grown in the head, the full grain in the head. So Jesus is telling us it's a progressive work. First, you have the head, and after that, the blade, and after that, the full grain in the head. So it's a progressive work. So we see once he plants that word in our life, it begins to produce progressively. And the point that's on my mind is simply this. Because it's a progressive work, you know, we just have to learn how to be patient with God. And we have to learn how to be patient with ourselves, because it is a progressive work in our life. You know, Jesus said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says that we change from glory to glory. Amen. You know what I love about that? Whatever level of sanctification we are in, it is glorious in the eyes of God. We change from glory to glory. It's glorious in the eyes of God. Listen, we may have been saved only 5 minutes and we're at the level of sanctification here, or we may have been saved 50 years and we're at the level of sanctification up here. But the Lord says, listen, whatever level you're on, a 5-minute sanctification or a 50-year sanctification, it's all glorious in my eyes. We just have to learn to be patient. Be patient with the Lord. It's a glorious work in the eyes of God. Number three, it's not only a progressive work, it is a positive work. Look with me at verse 28. It says, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that, the full grain in the head. And I want to emphasize the word full, the full grain in the head. Listen, the seed God plants in our life is going to grow in its fullness in our life. It's a positive work. That whatever seed God plants of his word in our life, it's going to produce in its fullness. Listen, there's nothing in me that can stop the work of his word from transforming my life. I can tell you, I'll be the first one to tell, well, I'm not going to, but I can be the first one to tell you all my faults. I know all my faults. I know everything that's wrong with me better than anybody, except maybe my wife. I mean, I know all my faults. I know all my failings. But even I can't stop the power of his word from changing and transforming my life. Amen. It is a positive work. And number four, it is a precious work. Look with me at verse 29. It says, but when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Beloved, it is a precious work. In other words, there's going to come a day, this fruit in your life is going to be ready to be harvested and served to others. That what God has done in your life by the power of his word is going to have the power to transform other people's lives. It is a precious work. Amen. So when he plants that seed in our life, that seed of his word in our life, it's a powerful work, it's a progressive work, it's a positive work, and it is a precious work. Amen. Well, let me give you my final point tonight. I feel like it just got started. Has it really been? Give you my final point tonight. Can I just tell you, never underestimate the power of a daily devotional life with God and his word. Never underestimate the power of a daily devotional life with Christ in his word. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Very powerful story in the Gospels. Luke chapter 10. Look with me at verse 38. It says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at his feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about so many things. Verse 42 is what I want to emphasize. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. So Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet, represents that precious private devotional time we have with Jesus and his word. Beloved, I truly believe with all my heart, the priority of our day should be sitting at Jesus' feet, letting him speak into our heart from his word. I really believe that should be the priority of my day, not just my life. That should be the priority of my day. That should be the priority of your day. More than anything else, my priority is just to have that personal devotional time with him in his word. That takes priority over everything. And of course, ministry, the life in your ministry comes out of that. Amen. But I want you to look at verse 42. Here's what I want to emphasize. Look with me at verse 42. Jesus says, talking about Mary sitting at his feet, says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. Now listen to what he says, which will not be taken away from her. And here's my point. Whatever happens between you and the Lord in the secret place is so powerful. There is no power in this earth that can take it away. Whatever happens between you and the Lord in the secret place is so intimate and so life transforming that there is no power in the earth that can take it away. When he plants something in your heart in that intimate private place with God, I'm telling you, it is there to stay. Amen. I want to end with just a very short personal testimony. You know, for about the last month, I have been in a real storm. There are storms and there are real storms. I've been walking through something very difficult, and I just have, we're going to be honest with you. I battled with a lot of depression, been battling with a lot of sense of despair and hopelessness. But the Lord gave me the story of Peter in a storm and Jesus walking on the water. And Peter's in this storm and he sees Jesus walking on the water and he says, Jesus, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus responded by speaking back to Peter and he said, Peter, come. And I always like to say this. This is what I get out of the story. Listen, Peter didn't walk on the water. Peter walked on the word of God. Amen. You know, Jesus spoke his word. He said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat onto the power of God's word. And he began to walk in the power of the word. And in this storm that I have been in, I have never leaned so hard on the word of God. I've never depended so much on the word of God. And I have to tell you, somewhere in this storm, a cry has begun to rise out of my heart. And that cry is simply this, God, I thank you for the storm. I thank you for the storm. I would rather be in a storm with Jesus, leaning on his word, than to be sailing under clear blue skies and be wordless. I would rather be in the storm, leaning on his word, than be wordless. You know, it's such a normal tendency of the heart. When you're not in storms and you're not in battles, it's such a human tendency not to lean upon his word as much. It's such a human tendency not to sense your need for him as much. And can I just be honest with you? When you're in that place, you can find yourself spending a lot of time sitting in front of television. But something in my heart has been thanking God for the storm. God, if it takes your storm to get me back in your word, thank God for the storm. If it takes the storm to get me out of a worldly mindset and get me back into a heavenly mindset, thank God for the storm. Can I just challenge you tonight? I don't know what storms you are in, but if it's really pressing you into the Lord and really pressing you into his word, I'm going to tell you something. When you're in a storm, you have no choice but to be in his word. When you're in a storm of storms, you have no choice but to lean upon his word. And I don't know what storms you're in tonight, but I just want to just encourage you. Listen, if it's causing you to press into his word, to lean upon his word, to walk in victory in his word, then thank God for the storm. Amen. Thank God for the storm. Amen. Stand with me this evening. I just want to encourage you again. If you have a daily devotional life with God in his word, I'm here to encourage you tonight. Keep it strong. Lay hold of his grace and keep it strong. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the very first thing the Lord, he came to that garden, the first thing he said to them is, where are you? And it's as if God is saying, you can hear the loneliness in God's heart. It's as if he's saying, listen, this garden is the place where we used to walk together. It's where we used to talk together. Where are you? And we may not all have a garden to seek God in, but some of us have a prayer closet. Some of us have a bedroom. Some of us have our favorite park bench. And I really believe in my heart that when we leave that park bench, God is still there at that park bench saying, where are you? This is the place where you used to talk to me. This is the place where you used to seek me. This was our private, intimate place. Where are you? And I just want to encourage you with all my heart, you know, if you have that intimate devotional life with God, keep it strong. Even in the storms, keep it strong. His grace is sufficient. And if you're here tonight and you've never developed a personal time with God where you just spend time with God, I want to encourage you. You know, it doesn't have to take a long time. Start with 10 minutes and a good cup of coffee, you know. Start there. You know, get you a good cup of coffee and sit down and open his word and give him 10, 15 minutes. Just share with him what's on your heart and let God speak to you from his word. And before you know it, 10 minutes to go to 15 minutes, 15 minutes to go to 20 minutes. Before you know, you're there for 30 minutes. But at the same time, keep in mind, it's not about knocking hours off of a clock. It's just about spending time with God. And I'm telling you, what happens in that secret place is so intimate and powerful, it can't be taken away from you. The world has no power to take it away from you. I want to give just an altar call, and their altar call is simply this. Pastor Tim, I'm in the storm of my life, but even in the storm, I want to thank God for his word. I mean, even can we just be so bold to say, God, if it takes a storm to really press me in your word, thank God for the storm. Is there anybody else in here that can just join me saying, God, I thank you for the storm because the storm has really caused me to press into your word, to lean upon your word, to depend upon your word. And if it takes the storm, then thank God for the storm. Amen. Is there anybody else here? Maybe we're all crazy. Maybe we're all crazy, but is there just anybody else here that says, Pastor Tim, I heard what you said, and for some crazy reason, it's registering my heart. And I just want to come to the altar and thank God for the storm and the life I find in his word in the storm. That's what we're thanking him for. The life I am finding in your word in the storm. Thank God for the storm. So anybody else who want to join me? Any more crazy folk who want to join me? We're going to thank him for the storm and the life we find in his word in the storm. And then I want to pray for you. You that have come, I just want to pray for you. And just know in my heart, I'm really praying with compassion because I'm right there in the altar with you. Father, I just want to take a moment. God, no one likes to go through the storms. But oh, the life that we find in your word, in the storms. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that have come. I don't know what storm they're facing. I don't know what crisis they're in. I don't know what situations they're struggling with. But I do know this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. And Father, we just thank you collectively. We just thank you for the life that we're finding in your word. That, Lord, your word brings light into our darkness, hopeless hope into our despair. God, your word has the final say in our life. And I thank you, God, we're never without hope. Because you always have something to speak from your word, God. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, God. I pray that in this storm, you would draw them into your word. God, I pray that if there's any in a storm and their hearts are so overwhelmed with fear, they're just not finding the strength to go into their Bibles. Holy Spirit, would you just come? Would you just come? Would you help us, Lord? Give us a strength that's stronger than our fears. God, give us a strength that's stronger than all our doubts and struggles and questions. God, give us a strength to press through the winds and the waves and to go into your word and see what you have to say about our storms, God. Father, all things are working together for our good. Lord, you use the good and the bad. You use the sunny skies and the stormy skies to work in our lives. And God, you have something to speak to my brothers and sisters. God, encourage their hearts that in the storm, to look to your word and lean upon your word. Because Jesus, you said it best, whoever hears my word and walks in obedience to the things that I speak, it's like building your house upon a rock that's so sound, there's not a storm that can blow through this earth that can knock your house down. God, I thank you with all my heart. Strengthen my brothers and sisters tonight. They will come through the storm. And they'll come out with such a deeper declaration that God and his word is faithful. Has brought me through my storm. I thank you, God. Lord, you teach us in that story, in the storms of life, the world has two options, sink or swim. But in the storms of life, my people have a third option. They're not called to sink or swim. They're called to walk in the victory of my word. God, I thank you for that. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.